Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So we have not met for a couple of weeks, so let's get back into the flow of things as to where we are discussing. We are going through Rashi and Ramban's commentary. Where in the story we are. We are up to verse 21. So let us just go back. Up to verse 20. We completed verse 19. In your Rashi, there is no page number because it got cut off. It's 294. If you can just go back, the page before it has 292, 293. We're the next page.
No, mine has been stagnant, but now. Come back again.
It's the one page that doesn't have page numbers. So the one page that doesn't have page numbers is the ones that we're up to. So we got up to verse 19. So let's just go back a few verses just to get us back into the flow of things. What has happened is... the basics of the story, of course, we know. Esav has been sent out to the field to hunt game for his father, to bring him the food as he likes that he should be able to eat and then bless him before he dies. Rivka overhears, calls in her son Yaakov and says, we went through some of the details in the way that she nuanced, changed some of the conversation when she repeated it to him, said, your father has basically asked your brother to go hunt for him game. Do it for me instead from my flock. We can't allow Esav to be the one to receive these blessings because once that blessing is received, it's going to be sort of permanent and it will land on the person who receives it. So we need to make sure that you get it instead. And she sends him into the flock. Yaakov's only concern, of course, was, I'm going to get caught. He doesn't complain about anything. He says, yes, Mom, but I'm going to get caught and therefore it will bring curses upon me rather than blessings. And she says, don't worry about it, it's all on my head. So he goes to the flock, he takes the two goats, they slaughter it, she prepares the meal, she dresses them. She then does two things to Yaakov, as we studied. She dressed him in Esav's clothing, which she had, that special clothing which had been stored in her house. And she puts on his arms and on the back of his neck the goat hairs that he should look and feel. He should feel like Esav. So those two items are part of his costume, Esav's clothing and then the goat skin. And then he enters in.
They don't mention his voice. I mean, there must
be some... So that is going to come up today. We'll learn a little bit about that. We have seen already the Ramban commented on a simple level, the voice was going to be a non-factor, either because the twins sounded alike, or Yaakov was able to make his voice sound like Esav. But clearly throughout the story, it seems to not be much of an issue. We will see, it will come up today. The Ramban is going to address it again in the few psukim that we'll study today. That's always in the background. When you read the story, you always have to address, Yitzchak can't see. So all he's dealing with is the voices of who's speaking to him. So we have to address that, and we'll see Rashi and the Ramban will address that in a moment. But it's sort of there in the background in which, on some level, Yaakov wasn't concerned about it, because when he says to his mother, but I'm going to get caught, if you remember, why was he afraid that he was going to get caught? Right, he's going to feel me, and then I'm going to get caught. So even Yaakov never really had a concern that his voice was going to give him away, either because he felt he could mask it or they actually did sound alike. But it clearly wasn't a major factor, which is why we're going to have to get to in a moment when Yitzchak makes his famous statement of the voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav.
Oh, yeah.
What element of Yaakov's voice is that? Because clearly it didn't seem to be much of an issue leading up to that point. We'll see it in a moment. We'll see that in a moment. Okay, now, so that what we studied last week was Yaakov comes in, he presents the food together with the bread, and says to him, he comes in, and he said, reading verse 18 again, he came to his father and said, Father... And he said, here I am, who are you, my son? And right away, Yitzchak's question was, who are you? And Yaakov says, it is I, Esav, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Rise up, please, sit and eat from the food that I have brought you. Got a little bit cut off there on the top, so that your soul may bless me. So we learned last week, and this is what we were focused on, Rashi comments that there are two quasi-truths that Yaakov says here. Number one, in response to the question of who are you, he says, it is I, Esav is your firstborn, meaning he says it in a way in which the simple reading of it is I, Esav, so it can be read as if he said, it is I, period. Esav is your firstborn, which is a quasi-truth, and as we discussed last week, purposely misleading. He needs to be misleading. He's been sent by his mother on a mission to swipe the brachos. And he's doing it in a way in which it's as least a lie as can be. So that I need to be deceitful, and the words that I use are at least said in a way that it would appear or can be interpreted in some way as truthful. It's not an outright lie. Which is what he does in his very next statement we learned last week, when he says, I have done that which you have told me. Here, please eat from the food that I have brought. So he doesn't say, I have done what you have told me by going out to the fields and hunted game and preparing it for you, because he didn't. He says, I have done what you have told me. Is that a true statement or not a true statement that Yaakov has done what Yitzchak has told him? Well, it's true. He's done many things that his father has told him. It has nothing to do with what he was told in the last 6 hours, but I have done what you have told me. That's true. So he's saying what needs to be deceitful in a way that's the least overt of a lie, of a lack of truthfulness as possible, that allows him to balance both worlds as best as he possibly can. That's how we saw last week. We'll see it again in a moment today, as he's trying to balance Yaakov, the Isha Emes, the man of truth, balancing that which he needs to address. Okay, so let us let's pick up from verse 20. It's on the top of the left hand side of a page. Vayomer Yitzchak el beno. Yitzchak now says to his son, he's being presented with the food, he can smell it. He says, who are you? His son replies, it's I, Esav, your firstborn. Please come sit and eat of the food. Vayomer Yitzchak el beno, maze miharto limtzobini. How is it that you were so quick to find my son? Now we asked, when Yaakov first walks in, the first thing that Yitzchak says to him is, who are you? We said, what do you mean, who are you? This makes a lot of sense. You asked your son for food. He brought you food. Why are you questioning who he is? So we see now, as the story is developing, something is strange. Something is raising his eyebrows, so to speak, as to how is this exactly working out like this? And now he asks the question of, how is it possible that you were so quick to be able to do so? Now, if you think about it again, if you were, I like to present it this way, as we've done a couple of times, if you were scripting the screen, if you were Rivka trying to play this out, you have a balancing act. She's also aware that Esav has been sent down to the field to hunt, and he's got to go out there, find the game, kill it, skin it, prepare it. There's a certain amount of time. And if it's too quick, so it's going to look suspicious. But what the fear on the other hand is, right, you can't be too late. So you got to put it in the middle somewhere and allow Yaakov to get in and get out and have his father eat and bless him before Esav actually comes back. And clearly, the way that it plays itself out, it was on the quicker side. You know, risking that rather than risking Esav coming back, so they send Yaakov in relatively quick. And Yitzchak is on top of that, saying, how is that possible that you were able to get back here so fast? What's Yaakov's response? Vayomer ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lifonoi, because Hashem your God has arranged it for me. Again, let's put it on our truth o meter. True or false that God has arranged this meal for Yaakov?
True.
Yeah. Right. Yaakov didn't go out to the fields to hunt the game. God has arranged it. His mother told him to go out to her flock. He walked outside to the backyard, picked up a goat, and brought it back inside. So his response to the question, again, is addressing the balancing act that he's trying to do of, I need to be deceitful, I need to pretend I'm somebody I'm not, and at the same time, do it in a way in which I don't overtly allow falsehood out of my mouth. So in response to the question, he says, Hashem, your God, has arranged it for me, caused it to happen, and that's why I was able to get here so quickly. Imagine that. Look, amazing. What siyata deshvaya, what divine providence that I was able to so quickly find an appropriate piece of meat, piece of our animal, to be able to slaughter and present to you. Says the Torah further, verse 21, Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, Yitzchak now says to his son Yaakov, Gishana ve'amushcha b'ni, come close if you please, so I can touch you, my son, Ha'atazeh b'ni Esav imlo, to see if you indeed are my son Esav or not. Now, what's troubling about this pasuk?
Well, he wasn't sure.
Good. Why? Now let's go back over the conversation. We started from the beginning today, from verse 18, to get the entire picture of the conversation. Yaakov walks in and says, Avi, says my father. And Yitzchak's first response was, it's me, who are you? So right away he started with that question. Now we could say, in hindsight, what was he bothered by? How did this happen so fast? He says, who are you? Yaakov responds, it's I, Esav, your firstborn. I've brought you, come sit, please, and eat something. Yitzchak says, how did you do this so fast? Yaakov says, your God arranged it for me. Yitzchak says, come over here. Okay, right? Come over here. Let me feel you to see whether or not you are my son Esav. Now, so what's he troubled by? So we could put our finger on a couple of things. What has happened so far in the conversation that would allow Yitzchak to say to himself, something's wrong here?
Yeah, well...
So we really have three things.
Yeah.
A, we have the way that Yitzchak first speaks to him. He says, please, Dad, sit up and let me feed you. Speaking in an appropriate way of, please, Dad, sit up. Then, when...
How did you do it so fast?
He says, well, God has arranged it for me.
And then he still wasn't sure, so he asked him to feel him.
Yeah, so those are the two things that we have so far. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. It says Rashi in 21, it's on the left-hand side of your page, Gishana ve'amushra, come close if you please so I can touch you. Now, let me take one pause, a step back. If you remember, when Yaakov first raised the concern to his mother and he said, I don't think this is a good idea, Mom, I'm going to get caught. Why did he think he was going to get caught, remember?
Because
he was going to feel him. Why was Yaakov concerned that his father was going to want to feel him?
He'll know the difference.
So if you remember, it was not necessarily we've seen because he was suspicious that he was going to be caught. Remember the Ramban? Why was Yaakov so concerned that he was going to be felt?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was longer than that.
Yeah.
Ramban said it was the way of a father who wanted to bestow a blessing to his children to kiss him, to hold him close as a sign of love and endearment.
Yeah.
So Yaakov said to his mother, you know, if this whole idea is for me to bring him this food and he's going to be well satiated and he's going to bless me, he's going to want to kiss me and I'm going to get caught. Now here we have the first time in which Yitzchak actually says, come here and let me feel you. But why is he doing that? Right? He's not doing it because out of a sign of love of a father, which is what Yaakov was suspicious of. It wasn't that he was suspicious originally of, I'm going to say something that's going to make him think it's not Esav. I'm going to say the name of God, or I'm going to speak nicely. He was afraid... The way of a father is to bring his son close and to give him a kiss and to show him his love and then to bless him. I'm going to get caught, Ma. Yitzchak, now as the story develops, says, who are you? Something is odd over here. Let me feel you. And he's actually doing it as a test to determine who indeed is standing in front of him. Back to Rashi 21. Gishona ve'amushra, come close if you please so I can touch you. Omer Yitzchak, believe what Yitzchak said in his heart, meaning to himself, Ein derech Esav, it is not the practice of Esav lihiyo shem shamayim, to have the name of heaven, shogor b'fiv, fluent in his mouth. Meaning, to unaffectedly mention the name of God in conversation, just by, you know, regularly to say God's name. Yet this one said, because Hashem Elokecha, Hashem, your God, arranged it. Something's odd, Yitzchak says to himself. Now again, we're going to pay attention to the details here. What tipped off Yitzchak to say that something is odd? When Yaakov responds, Hashem, your God, arranged it for me. So they've had a little bit of a conversation already. Yaakov walked in and said, Father, he said, yes, I'm here. Who are you? Esav, your firstborn. I've brought you all that you've done. How did it happen so fast? God arranged it. Now something strikes you. Not the voice. They already had a conversation. It's when he says, your God arranged it for me. Yitzchak says, come over here. Let me feel you. Because Yitzchak knew that Esav didn't regularly speak that way, but his son Yaakov did. So something was odd, so he says, come here and let me feel you. Now, take a break here. We're going to see Ramban and a Maharal. There's a question that can be asked here. The way the Rashi is explaining it, which seems right out of the text, what tipped Yitzchak off to say, come here and let me feel you? The very last thing that was said. And notice he doesn't say that when Yaakov walks in and says, Avi. But that's weird. Who said that? He says, yes, I'm here. Who are you? He says, Esav. He says, how did it happen so fast? Only when he says God, does he say, let me feel you. Now, so Yitzchak apparently, according to Rashi, knew that Esav did not use the name of God, and Yaakov did. Now, this should raise a problem for us. Because what story, when you scale back from the details of the story that we're working on, what's going on here in the story? Like, what's Yitzchak embarking on? What does he want to do?
Bless his son.
Yeah. And he wants to give him, apparently, as we're going to see, a significant blessing. A blessing that's so significant that his wife, Rivka, has their son, Yaakov, dress up, risk everything to go and steal it. So it's a significant bracha. And who does Yitzchak want to give his bracha to? To Esav. Because, as we know from what we've been studying, he loves his son, Esav. Now, what does he think of his son, Esav? So we have no reason to assume that he thinks anything other than what about Esav? He thinks he's a good guy or a bad guy?
Good.
Thinks he's a good guy. That's exactly right. And now we run into, all of a sudden, Yaakov throws out God's name, and Yitzchak says, that's weird. My son Esav never mentions God's name like that. Who are you? Okay. Cut. Hold on one second. We have a problem here. We're talking about Yitzchak. We're talking about Yitzchak, who right now is being fooled by his son Esav.
His son Yaakov.
No. What I meant to say was, who's been fooled by his son Esav all his life into thinking that his son Esav is a good guy. If you remember, we studied in depth the Rashi that he used to ask him questions about tithing, the salt and the straw, which don't need tithing, but he was trying to show how everything which comes from God has to somehow be able to be given back to it. He's made him think that he's a good guy. And then we read, as he's about to give the blessing, he hears his son use the name of God, and he says, well, that can't be Esav. So wait a minute. So who do you think Esav is? You think he's a good guy? Why is it so strange to you, when you hear the name of God, that all of a sudden this must be Yaakov? Hear my question?
Mm-hmm.
It's not my question. The Ramban asks this question. Let's take a look at the Ramban. It's a good question, no?
Yes.
It's on page 53 in your blue sheet. On the bottom of page 53 is the verse that we just studied, verse 21. Come close if you please so I can touch you. Says the Ramban, what aroused Yitzchak's suspicions at this point? So the Ramban begins by citing Rashi, which we just studied, which is that Yitzchak said to himself, it is not Esav's usual practice to have the name of heaven fluent in his mouth. And Rashi's quoting that from the Medrash. The Ramban poses a question. I am perplexed, says the Ramban. For Esav was not considered a wicked person by his father. His father thought he was indeed a righteous individual. Why then was Yitzchak so surprised to hear Esav mention the name of God? That's his question. Ramban suggests as follows. We're going to see the Ramban, then we'll take that a little bit further. Says the Ramban, perhaps, ulai, Yitzchak thought to himself that because Yitzchak was a man of the field, the Ish Sada, and his mind was concentrated on hunting, He refrains from mentioning the name of heaven out of fear lest he mention it in an unclean place or without the proper intention. When you mention the name of God, we know that there's a prohibition in the Torah, one of the Aseret HaDibros, is telling you can't mention God's name in vain. So not only can you not mention it in vain, but it has to be mentioned always with appropriate intention and in places of purity, cleanliness. Can't mention it in a bathroom. It's significant. So the Ramban is perplexed. Well, what did Yitzchak think of his son? He knows that he's had many conversations with his son over these last 60 years, and his son Esav never mentions God's name. So how did Yitzchak in his mind justify his understanding of Esav as being a righteous individual, and he never mentions God? Says the Ramban, perhaps Yitzchak thought, since he knew his son was a man in the field, that he was careful. In the field, things are messy, things are dirty, not necessarily clean, he's got his mind, he's busy, worried about other things, he's not going to have the appropriate intention or concentration, and that's why he never focused on it. And in his father's eyes, this was considered an indication of Esav's fear of heaven. So that in what might have been looked at as a detriment to Esav, as he's not so religious, he doesn't even ever mention God, his father Yitzchak actually looked at it as a positive and said, my son Esav is so holy, is so careful, that he doesn't mention the name of God because he's afraid of not saying it correctly. Now, when the Maral quotes this and explains it, I want to add a little bit of, it's just a beautiful idea, there are two ways of serving God. Obviously, there's much more, and two very broad stroke ways of serving God based on Psukim in Tehillim that we find. One is what we would say, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve your God with joy, out of love, out of ahava. And another is what we would call, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve your God with fear, out of awe. So there's fear, serving out of love, and fearing out of fear. Now, which one's better? Good question. I don't know. No simple answer to that. But they're different. They're different. So they're different within an individual's life. There are moments in which we serve out of fear, and the moments in which we serve out of love. They both need to be present. In the ideal world, you can imagine they're both true. The human experience is a complex experience, and there are many components to that. And it's possible that a person can have tremendous love for someone, and at the same time, be in awe or in fear of them. And you know, in the classic old example, which we don't have kings anymore, but if you can imagine a king with authoritarian power, so you can imagine constituents of the king loving the king for what he's done for them and for their country, and simultaneously knowing that if they step out of line, you know, they could be killed. So there's a certain fear slash awe of the king and a love of the king, and it can coexist. Now, in as much as they both can coexist, when the sages discuss our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they discuss them in each one introducing something to the Jewish people. Avraham was a man who served out of love, a man who came to the recognition of God on his own. He was a man of kindness, the Ish HaChesed. He stands for the pillar of kindness. Kindness and love represent the idea of wanting to take those outside of you and bring them close. That's what it means to express love. It's taking things on the outside, bringing them in. People say, what a loving community you have. What does it mean to have a loving community? What does it mean to be warm? It means to take them outside and bring them in. Bring them into your home. Bring them into your community. Bring that which is outside to bring it close. Fear or awe is the exact opposite. Fear or awe is putting distance. There's something that I'm afraid of. What do we naturally do when we're afraid of something? We move back. When you're in awe of something, you don't say, I'm in awe, and you come close. You're in awe, and you pull back. Yitzchak was the opposite of his father, and as much as Abraham introduces to the Jewish people the concept of recognizing God on his own, the concept of chesed, the concept of kindness, the concept of love, Yitzchak represents what we call gvura, or strength, or serving out of fear, which is out of awe. Being in awe of God, being in fear of God. I'm using those terms sort of synonymously, even though they're very different, but they're both representative of that same concept of I'm very small in relation to you. And what that naturally does is creates a distance. Because you push away out of concern lest I act inappropriate, say something inappropriate, do something inappropriate, not show the appropriate respect. I just function in a constricting way as opposed to a inclusive way of love. And in all relationships, you know, you need to have both. If you have a relationship with a colleague, a spouse, parent, child, whatever it may be, where it's only love, you feel sometimes like you're being swallowed by the other. There's just this closeness, and you see it sometimes in other, both in our own relationships and watching others, and like one person almost like just swallows up the other person whole. There's no two people anymore. And if you have a relationship that's all awe or fear, like when it comes to maybe like a boss or someone in the office who's just like so great, there's no relationship because it's all just distance. And life's the balance of
you admire that person.
Right? But I want to be close. But I'm afraid of getting close. So there's a balance. And in life, some of our relationships are much more fear-driven. Some are more love-driven. It depends if we're like colleagues, if it's a boss, if it's whatever, all those things. So when it comes to serving God, so we need both. There's a serving God out of love, as Avinu Sheba Shamayim, our Father in Heaven, personal relationship. And then there's Avinu Malkeinu. You're also our King. And you're the King of Kings. You're the All-Powerful. And I'm a nothing in front of you, and I am not just afraid of being punished, which is a low-level fear. I'm in awe of the magnitude of your greatness and my smallness, and I am frozen by that. Love inspires to action. Fear freezes. That's why, the Ramban has a lengthy discussion that there are two types of mitzvahs in the Torah, what we call mitzvahs aseh, positive mitzvahs, and mitzvahs los aseh, the prohibitions. Aseh are do this, los aseh are don't do that. So the Ramban writes how the mitzvahs aseh are all stemming from serving God out of love, and the los aseh, the prohibitions, are serving God out of fear. Why, says Ramban? Because when you do something, you get up and you do it, that's coming close. That's action. Action is driven by love, by the wanting to come close, the wanting to do something. The los aseh, the prohibitions, are the don'ts. That's driven by fear. The inaction, don't do this, don't do that, is driven by fear, which is driven by, you know, I'm frozen, I can't do this, I can't do that. It comes from a very different place. Which is why there's a principle, the Ramban discusses, there's a principle in halacha of esei docha lo sase. If two mitzvahs conflict, a positive commandment to do something, which contradicts a prohibition of not doing something, and circumstances in life put them at the same moment, I need to do something because I have a mitzvah to do it, but I'm not allowed to do it because there's a prohibition. Which one takes precedence? Do you do the action because there's a mitzvah, or you say, yeah, but this is generally prohibited, I can't do it? So in halacha, the doing the action takes precedence. You do it. If circumstances converge, where there's a positive commandment to do something, and generally there's a negative not to do it, you do it. And the Bible explains because love always trumps fear. The activity of doing something, which is the aseh, the positive, trumps the being frozen inactivity of not acting out of fear. Which is why, by the way, when you think about, like, say, a husband buys flowers for his wife, that's a love or a fear? Right? So in other words, it's an action. It should be done out of love. When it's done out of fear of what will happen if I don't, it becomes a meaningless activity. Right? In other words, you can do a positive activity and you lose it. In other words, I'm not really doing it. When it's a positive action, positive actions are driven by love, to draw close.
Yeah.
And the negative actions are out of fear, you constrict, you hold back. Sometimes we do something, but it's really only out of fear. And those are always our empty actions. We could tell. Because it's backwards. What we've done is we've done an action which is supposed to be bringing close, but really all that it's doing is making sure that you're avoiding some type of punishment. That's why you sometimes have these empty actions, because an action by definition is supposed to come close, but sometimes we use that, but it's really a function of fear. Okay, all that as an introduction. Says the Maharal, when he talks about this Ramban and this concept, Yitzchok, as I mentioned, was a not as a response to his father, but introduced a new element to his father. His father, Avraham, was chesed, was ahava, was love, was bringing close. Yitzchok stands for Yira. Yitzchok represented and introduced to the Jewish people the concept of serving out of fear, out of awe of God. Now, go back over what the Ramban said. Yitzchok has two sons, and he sees one son, Yaakov. God is great, God is amazing, thank God this, thank God that. He's mentioning God's name all the time. And his son Esav doesn't. In Yitzchok's world, in his mind, which one does he connect to more?
Esav.
The Maharal explains, Yitzchok saw in Yaakov somebody who was loose with God's name. And to him, who stood for and introduced the concept of awe and fear, he didn't have to do with that. That wasn't his approach. When he sees Esav not mentioning God's name, he naturally assumed, why? Because he's like me. I would never do that. Can you imagine Yitzchok walking around saying, God this, God that? Yitzchok? Yitzchok, who represents awe, he wouldn't walk around just saying God's name. It would have to be always with the right intention and the right mindset, making sure that's done correctly. So when he sees his two sons, Maharal explains, it was such a brilliant insight. It's not just as we saw in the Ramban, like, well, maybe he figured he was a man in the field. He says, it's not just maybe he figured he was a man in the field. It's that made sense to him. He connected with the son that doesn't say God's name more than he connected with the son who did. Because the son who did was somebody who's serving out of a different, coming from a different place. Yaakov, the third son, Avraham Yitzchak, combines the two. But from Yitzchak's perspective, he just sees, how could you just mention his name like that? So when Esav doesn't, so we look at it and say, it's because he wasn't from. That's why he didn't mention God's name. But Yitzchak didn't see that, because Yitzchak also didn't mention God's name like that. Yitzchak also lived a life of Yira, of fear. So that he naturally connected to Esav and put that in the scheme of, yeah, he's a righteous person like me. That's why I connect to Esav more than my wife Rivka. She connects to Yaakov. Yaakov's a good guy. But Esav's mine. Yitzchak sees in Esav. Now again, it's a misinterpretation. The reason why Esav didn't mention God's name is because he wasn't involved. But Yitzchak sees in that something that fits with his own personality. And therefore he connects in that and says it makes sense. And now that he hears it coming from his son, he says, who's that? Who would just say, just like off the cuff, how did it happen so fast? Your God brought it to me. That's not my Esav. I would never talk like that, he says. And my Esav wouldn't talk like that. In a good way. Rav Huttner, Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, he writes that that's why you find a very interesting nuance in the way the Jewish people have, the way we speak. When we talk about love or fearing God, we use different phrases. We use the phrase when we talk about fear of Yira Shamayim, which means fear of heaven, and Ahavas Hashem, which means love of God. Now, until I saw this piece from Rav Huttner, I never stopped to think about that. He says, so interesting, isn't it? Why, when we talk about fear, do we talk about fear of heaven? And when we talk about love, we talk about love of God. Why don't we say Ahava Shamayim? I have love of heaven. We don't say that. Why don't we talk about Yiras Hashem? We talk more about Yiras Shamayim. When we ask, is that person fearful? We say, does he have Yiras Shamayim? Does he fear heaven? Why don't we say Shamayim? Now, Footner says, this is why. Because when you talk about fear, you don't mention God's name. You withhold. You're afraid. You don't want to say it in the wrong way. So we talk about Yiras Shemayim. I don't even want to mention God's name. I talk about fear of heaven. When I talk about love, it's Avas Hashem. It's the love of God. And the Jewish people, going back to the Talmud, speak in terms that reflect this. When the language is so beautiful, reflect this idea that Ahava is coming close and Yir is keeping distance. And so you see it here when Yitzhak hears the name of God and he says, who are you? You're not my son Esav, because Esav's like me. He serves out of fear. And someone who serves out of fear, out of awe, would have said, in Shemayim they arranged it for me. Wouldn't say, God arranged it for me. You sound like a son who's serving out of love. Let me feel you. You sound like my Yaakov. So that within this conversation is, as the Maral and Rav Futner point out, very deep concepts of the two ways of serving, the serving out of love and the serving out of fear. Very beautiful idea. So you
look into the whole story.
Mm-hmm. In a way. So Yitzchak says, come. Let me just read. So before we get back into our story, going back to the Ramban on page 54 in your blue sheets where we left off, having clarified the Midrash's explanation as to why Yitzchak became suspicious, Ramban offers a plain, simple, meaning non-Midrashic explanation. According to the plain interpretation, it was because of Yitzchak's recognition of Yaakov's voice that he became suspicious. So he mentions here the Ramban this idea. In other words, why does he say, let me feel you? There's something about the voice which wasn't sitting well with him. So he mentions it as a plain interpretation. The sage is clearly seeing the story much more than that, mainly because he only asks this question after the third exchange in the dialogue. If it really was his voice, he should have said it a little bit earlier. But on the plain meaning of the text, if you're reading it, you would say, you know why you wanted to feel him? Because something sounded a little bit off. It wasn't perfect. But on a deeper level, says the Ramban, which is what he really started with from the Midrashim, it was from the language of him using the name of God in there that tipped him off because it didn't fit. And then we have the explanation, as we learned, Yitzchak he thought that was a positive that Esav didn't mention the name of God, even though when I first asked the question, you thought it was a good question. So like, why would he think his son is so righteous if he never mentions God's name? That was actually a sign of righteousness. It was a sign of similarity to himself to be very careful in mentioning the name of God. Okay, let's continue. So how does Yaakov respond to this question? Or not even the question. He says, come close and let me feel you. Chaf Beis 22, Vayigash Yaakov al Yitzchak aviv vayimushehu. So Yaakov drew close to Yitzchak, his father, and he touched him. Vayomer, and here we have our famous pasuk, Hakol kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. Vahayodayim yidei Esav. But the hands are the hands of Esav. So let's take a look at Rashi. 22, it was Yaakov's voice. Shemidaber b'loshon tachanunim, for he speaks in a supplicating tone. Kum na, rise up, please, he said. But Esav spoke in an antagonistic tone. Yakum avi, my father should rise. So that Yaakov, and you look at back at verse 19, says, rise up, please, and sit and let me feed you. When Esav, if you'll flip over the page, when Esav is going to walk in a few moments, he's going to speak differently. If you flip two pages back, in the middle of verse 31, two pages later, he says, father should rise and eat of his son's game. He doesn't say, please get up and let me feed you, but father should rise. So that Rashi introduces now another variable in the way that Yaakov was speaking. Mm-hmm. In that, A, he uses the name of God. That's what first tipped him off to say, who are you? And then when he makes this famous statement of Hakol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim Yidei, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. So he doesn't mean the sound of the voice is the voice of Yaakov, because they sounded similar. He would have noticed this a long time ago. What he means is the sound of the voice is the voice of Yaakov. There's a way to speak. And that way to speak is the voice of Yaakov, not of Esav. You know, I think I've said it before in this forum, but you could if I were to speak in a language that you didn't understand, most likely, just from listening to me, you can tell a lot about what I'm saying. Whether or not I'm speaking in a harsh tone, or in a soft tone, in a soothing, friendly tone, or in an antagonistic, accusatory tone. So that you don't need to hear the words, you just need to hear the tone. Children who don't necessarily even understand words, and certainly children who don't bother listening to the words, can still tell how they're being spoken to by a parent, teacher, adult, and right away know if they don't like the way they're being spoken to, they just tune it out, whatever the words are. Before the words come into their mind, they can already hear the tone of what's being said. And as much as it's true about children, it's true about us also. As soon as someone starts to talk to us, and we can tell, I don't like the way you're talking. I don't even hear the words anymore. I'm not interested in the words that you're speaking. If you talk to me in a way that's inappropriate, whether you be a friend, boss, coworker, whatever, I don't hear you speaking to me. That's the Kol Yaakov. Someone says, what does it mean that Yaakov has a voice? What does it mean to have a Jewish voice? There's a Kol Yaakov. Says Rashi, what it means to have a Jewish voice is that I can hear you speak and I don't even know the words you're saying, but you speak in a supplicating tone. There's a way that you talk. The voice of Yaakov, the Jewish voice, is a voice that's recognizable despite the fact that I don't know the words that you're saying, but I know that your tone is a supplicating tone. Please, Father, sit up and let me feed you, as opposed to, Father should rise, I have food for you. There's a tone to the Kol Yaakov. Very significant lesson. And we say that the voice is the voice of Yaakov. It's not that Yitzhak recognized the sound of his vocal cords. The way a Jew speaks. The voice was Yaakov's voice. It's a supplicating tone. And in our own experiences, you just hear, we listen to people who speak that way, and we tune out those who don't. There's a tone. So there's a Kol Yaakov. There's a Kol Yaakov, and that's what it is. So you have here these two ideas that Rashi's told us that Yitzchak picks up on. Number one, the use of the name of God, that Yaakov puts it in there. That in itself can go either way, because Yitzchak says, I myself wouldn't use the name of God. I serve out of fear, awe. So I refrain. One who serves out of love would use it. So that to Yitzchak was, but I could tell you're not Esav, because that's a Yaakov trait, to use the name of God like that. And then I heard the way that you spoke. There was a tone that you used. So even after I feel you, and I feel the hands of Esav, but the call, that voice, the tone, was a tone of Yaakov. And that I always find in the story, one of the most poignant messages of the story is that there's a Jewish tone in the way that we speak. It has to always be that Kol Yaakov. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.